Russia's elevated role in Syria has focused new attention on the actions and motivations of President Vladimir Putin. And the large number of what appear to be political killings in Russia has added to questions about whether the Kremlin has been actively killing off dissent and opposition. Authorities are yet to fully investigate last year's murder of Russia's opposition leader Boris Nemtsov in Moscow. Investigators have charged a group of Chechen men with his murder. But Nemtsov's supporters say the suspects are just low-level operatives who were paid to kill the prominent critic of President Putin. Masha Gessen is a prominent Russian-American journalist, author, activist, and long-standing critic of Vladimir Putin, and she's speaking to Linda Lopresti.
Masha Gessen, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you.
The opposition leader Ilya Yashin says the stalling of the investigation into Boris Nemtsov's murder could pave the way for more political assassinations. Do you agree?
We have not seen a political murder or a murder of a journalist that has actually been solved convincingly in Russia in some 20 years. So in that sense, the murder of Nemtsov is one in a long line of unsolved murders of opposition figures. And with each one, the fear impressed upon people who are opposed to the Kremlin is greater and greater. And if you look at what's happened to people who were in the leadership of the protests in 2011-2012, then basically they are either dead, like Nemtsov, or they're in prison, like Sergei Udaltsov, or they have been exiled, or they have gone into forced exile to avoid prison and murder, like Garry Kasparov. And I think people generally understand that there's no hope of getting a full accounting of what happened to him.
Well, Boris Nemtsov is not the first Kremlin critic to be killed, but he is probably one of the most high-profile to be murdered. Some observers say his death has marked a kind of turning point and opened a kind of Pandora's box of paranoia and violence in Russia. What is your view?
You know, each political murder is absolutely horrifying. And I don't want to get into a conversation about which was scarier, the murder of Boris Nemtsov or the murder of Anna Politkovskaya, the journalist who was gunned down in her own building in 2006. I think they're basically the same in terms of the kind of person that they targeted and the kind of message that they sent.
Well, addressing journalists last year, President Putin said that Boris Nemtsov embarked on a path of political struggle, but that does not necessarily mean that he had to be killed. How do you interpret that?
It was a bit of a Freudian slip. I mean, he was trying to distance himself from the murder in a way that made it perfectly clear that he basically thought that political murder, that assassination, is one of a menu of responses to having somebody oppose your regime.
Masha, finally, I want to get your view on Russia's involvement in Syria. It's inserted itself into the middle of the Syrian war. It's siding with President Bashar al-Assad, dropping bombs, killing civilians. Many warn that Putin has made a sizable mistake. Others say Putin is a strategic grandmaster running circles around his Western counterparts. What do you believe is Putin's Syria mission?
I think there are a couple of things going on there. One is that I think he really genuinely identifies with Bashar al-Assad, an autocratic ruler whose regime was in danger because of a popular uprising. This is the sort of thing that Putin sincerely thinks should not happen. And he thinks that the American approach of unseating the one person that Putin sees as the legitimate leader of Syria and supporting the opposition to Syria, to Bashar al-Assad is basically illegitimate. So that's part of his mission, to support the kind of rule and the kind of response to popular uprising that he thinks is the only valid one. I also think it's very much a personal project. When Putin first got involved in Syria 2.5 years ago, in September 2013, when he sort of swooped in and helped President Obama save face when Obama could not make good on his promise to have the red line on chemical weapons and to intervene if Assad violated the red line, and then Obama couldn't get congressional approval for that, and then Putin swooped in and said, "Oh, I'll disarm Bashar al-Assad, and I'll be sort of king of the mountain," and he got to be king of the mountain for about a month while he was presiding over talks and publishing, you know, op-eds in the New York Times accusing Obama of American exceptionalism. It was really a moment of personal triumph for him. And he wanted very much to recapture that moment, because in the intervening 2 years, he's become an international pariah, and he doesn't quite understand why. So I think Syria for him is also what he sees as an opportunity to reestablish himself as a negotiating partner and a political partner to the great powers of the world. And when the great powers rejected his offer to form an anti-ISIS coalition that would be like the anti-Hitler coalition, which is an offer that he made at the General Assembly of the United Nations in September, then he decided to blackmail the West into sitting down at the table with him. And that's what we've seen over the last 6 months. We've seen basically a bombing campaign in which Putin is communicating to the world, I will do whatever I want here, and I will continue doing whatever I want here until you realize that I am a force to be reckoned with. And unfortunately, he's succeeded.
With that kind of attitude, why do you say, though, he doesn't recognize that he's an international pariah, or he doesn't understand why?
The only language he understands is the language of strength. And so if he is so strong and he's so big and he's so bad, then how could he be a pariah? How can anybody refuse to talk to somebody who can be such a destabilizing force? That doesn't make any sense to him. But, you know, what's important to understand is that people who say that he's made a terrible mistake and that he risks getting bogged down are sort of trying to measure the events in Syria with a completely different stick than the one that Putin is using. He's not afraid of getting bogged down. He's not afraid of fighting an unpopular war. He doesn't have that issue because he's, at this point, presiding over a society that is behaving like a totalitarian society. So that's not a problem. And he can afford to continue to be in Syria and to continue to be losing people in Syria just the same way that he continues to be bogged down in eastern Ukraine. He hasn't pulled out of there. That war continues to go on at great human cost, which is just not a calculus that Putin engages in.
And there's the views of Russian-American journalist, author and activist Masha Gessen. She's a long-standing critic of Putin, and she was speaking with Linda Lopresti. And if you're in Sydney this weekend, you can hear Masha speak at the All About Women Festival at the Sydney Opera House this coming Sunday.